We begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos, daf Yud Aleph. We begin three lines from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues discussing different Amoraic statements by the same Amora in the name of his teachers and that in the name of Rav. Any city where the roofs of the housetops are higher than the roof of the Beis HaKnesses of the Shul, L'soiv Charva, ultimately that city is going to be destroyed. Shnema, like it says the pasuk in Ezra, L'roimim es Beis Lekeinu, to elevate the house of our God, U'lahamid es Chervoisev, and to restore its ruins. And that is, then the end of the pasuk will be, L'osis lo negeder b'Yehuda, to place a fence for us in Judea, in Eretz Yisrael, that is, that it won't be destroyed. However, if our Beis Lekeinu is not elevated, and that is, the other houses are higher than the Shul, then our city will not have a fence, and therefore it will ultimately come to ruin. However, the Gemara says, "V'hanam ilah b'batim," but that's regarding houses. Av b'kashkushi v'avrure less lamba, but regarding towers and regarding different forts, there we're not concerned. That could be higher. That's for the security of the city, and that's not a house. That is no problem. You could have that even higher than the shul. So Amar Rav Ashi, "Ano avdi l'mosam mechasid loycharva." I did this for the city of Mosam Mechasid that it shouldn't get destroyed. That is, Rav Ashi was the Rosh Hashiva in Mosam Mechasid, and he held them back from making their house, although they wanted to make these skyscrapers, from making it higher than the shul that it shouldn't get destroyed. So the Gemara says, "But it did get destroyed, that city." So the Gemara says, "Me'isa avin loycharva." It was not destroyed because of that. And that is, he protected them from that element, but it was destroyed for other reasons. The Gemara continues with another statement by the same Amar. "V'amar ba Mechasid merav chama ba Guriyo merav." Taches Yishmael, the person should work under an Arab, under a Yishmaelite, and that is, he should be Meshamash and he could serve him. But don't work for a stranger, that's a reference to someone from Edom, which refers to the Romans, because they were very evil people. Taches Narchi, but Taches Chavar, you should work under a Roman, but not under a Chavar. And these were a nation which were from related to the Persians, and they were very ruthless. And tachas chaver v'lo tachas tamal chacham, but rather, and even work for a chaver than not for a tamal chacham. That is because if you hurt the tamal chacham, if you get in his way, you will be punished because of the covet of the tamal chacham. Rather, it's worthwhile to work under everyone else but for a tamal chacham. And tachas tamal chacham v'lo tachas yos mamona, and rather work for tamal chacham than to work for an orphan or for a widow. And that is because by them, their tears are very easily come, and Hashem says that He'll punish all those that hurt them, so therefore stay away from working for those people, because you have to be very, very sensitive and careful when working for a Yasam and for Almanah. The Gemara continues with another statement by the same Amor. Any sickness, and sickness refers to something that's a prolonged, protracted, so to speak, disease, and that makes a person weak, like, for example, fever, or a headache, that is in a real sickness type of way. Any sickness, but not a sickness of the stomach. And that's the worst type of sickness. Kol ke'ev, any type of pain, and that is something that comes and goes, for example, a toothache or the pain from a wound, and not hard pains. And that is because that's the worst type of pain. Kol mechush, any type of ache, and that is just something that's a minor type of irritant, which is very temporary, and not a headache, because a headache is the worst type of ache. And kol ra, any type of evil, but not an evil woman, because an evil woman is the worst type of evil that can be perpetrated in the world. The Gemara continues with another statement by the same Amar. Had all the seas been black ink, v'aganim kulmasim, and all the marshes, which are, so to speak, sticks sticking out, would be quills. V'shemayim yirias, and the heavens would be parchments. V'chol b'nei adam lav l'aron, and all the people on the planet would be scribes. So we would use all the natural resources to everything be working towards writing something. Ein maspikim lichtiv chalola shal rashas. It still would not suffice to write about the depth of what happens in government. And that is the depth of their hearts, which they have to, so to speak, contemplate and take into perspective with all the different countries and how much taxes to charge and how many wars to fight and how to have all the different judgments and everything that happens on one single day. It would be impossible to write it down. Micro, what's the pasuk that refers to this phenomenon? Amar Misharsh, it's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Shemayim Lerum, that the heavens to the heights, the Eretz Lo'imik, and the earth to the depth, But Lev Malachim Ein Cheker, yet the hearts of kings are beyond investigation, and that is, we're able to talk about the heavens to the heights and the earth to the depths. It has some type of a measurement. But the heart of kings are beyond cheker, beyond investigation. That is, it would be impossible to demonstrate what actually happens behind the walls of the government. Yomar continues with another statement by this Amor. V'amar Rav b'machasi m'Rav Chama bar Gurya, Amar Rav in the name of Rav. Yofa tainis l'chalim. A fast is very effective for a dream. Ke'esh l'nachayis, as well as fire is for a bundle of flax. That is, like it consumes it. So does a fast take care of a bad dream that a person has. However, Amar Rav Chizdo ubay b'yom. That's only if you do the fast on the day that you had the dream. That is, a person dreams at night, halachically that's the same day, when then the following morning is when he has the fast that day. V'amar Rav Yosef, afilu b'Shabbos, it says, even on Shabbos, a person should fast a tainis chalom, as it's called, a fast for the dream. And Gemara brings a story related to this, that Yeshua b'Reid Rav Idi ikla l'bei Rav Ashi. He came to the house of Rav Ashi. Avdile igla tilsa, they made for him a third-born calf, and that is something that was the third-born from the calf, which is it's the best type of meat, because when the behemoth, when the animal is still young, it's still not in its full strength, and therefore the first and the second children are not that healthy. The third-born from the calf is the best meat. So Amalei lit to Mamid, they said, eat something, we make for you this most expensive, delectable meat. What's going on? Why aren't you eating it? So Amalehu b'tayni sisibne says, I'm sitting in a fast. Don't you hold to this halacha, Rabbi Yehuda? Dam Rabbi Yehuda, love odin tanisoi pereya, that a person could borrow, so to speak, from his fast and repay at a later time. So we know you're fasting, whatever your cheshbon is, but you can go ahead and, so to speak, borrow from it and eat now and then repay it at a later time. So Malay Tainis Chalmu says, but I'm fasting for a dream that I had. Which we quoted before, that Yafa Tainis Lachalim Keshon Lacharis. That a fast is effective for a dream as fire is for a bundle of a flax. V'am Rav Chizda, and Rav Chizda had qualified it ubay b'yom, that it has to be on that day. V'am Rav Yisrael, Philip Shabbos, and therefore I'm not going to go ahead and borrow and fast a different day, because it has to be on the day that I had that dream. Now the Gemara returns to our Mishnah that said, regarding all the different things that a person should not begin when it comes close to the time of Mincha. But however, the Mishnah said, v'mischilu emafsikin. If one began that activity already, you don't have to stop. However, mafsikin lekriyishma, you do have to interrupt for a second kriyishma. But v'emafsikin letfilit, said in the Mishnah, that one does not have to interrupt for davening shemayne ese. Which the Gemara asks, hatana le'reisha emafsikin. The reisha, the first part of the Mishnah, already said that we don't interrupt that activity that we started for, so to speak, to go ahead and daven, because that's what we discussed was davening. So why do we repeat it again? Ve'im afsikin l'tefila, that we don't have to interrupt v'tefila when we already said it. So the Gemara says, seifa ason l'divrei Torah, that the seifa is talking about a different case. It's in reference to divrei Torah, that someone's in the middle of learning. The Tanya is alerting the Braisa. Chaveim shol yo'ishim b'Torah, if they were tamid ha'chacham, they were sitting and learning Torah. Mafsikin l'kriyishma, ve'im afsikin l'tefila, that they have to interrupt for kriyishma, and that is because Kriyishma Dizman is the Raisa when it's supposed to be said. It says B'shachbuch of Kamecha, the designated times when to say Kriyishma. However, you don't have to stop for davening Shema Nesrei. However, the Gemara qualifies this and says, Rabbi Yechonon Lishonah El Kagan Reb Shimon ben Yochai V'chaver. That's only regards to like people like Reb Shimon ben Yochai and his friends, Shetayrosan Umnasan, that their Torah learning is their occupation. And that is what it says in the Mishnah, that you don't have to stop for tefillah. It means if you were middle learning, but it has to be someone at that level, that Torah is their occupation. However, the Gemara says, "Avakol Kogayin Onu," but so to speak, people like us, that since we stop our Torah learning for even other things, for mundane matters like to go to work or whatever it is, so then definitely, mafsikin l'kriyishma tefillah, we have to interrupt for kriyishma, and even for tefillah, we're not on that level. However, the Gemara asks, "V'tanim b'lutin abraisa k'shem she'ein mafsikin l'tefillah kach ein mafsikin l'kriyishma," that we said that just like a person does not have to interrupt for davening, he doesn't have to interrupt for kriyishma. So how can we say that we're talking about learning over here in the Mishnah that you don't have to stop for kriyishma, but you have to stop at tefillah, when we see that you don't have to stop neither for kriyishma or for tefillah? So the Gemara says that's going on a special type of learning. Kitana ahi be'ibr shon, that was talking about when you want to extend the year. You want to make what's called an ibr year, you want to make it into a halachic leap year. And that is, what they used to do is, they used to go up seven people up to an attic, and they would discuss for a long time if the year is fit to be, and that it needs to, let's say, be extended. As the Gemara in Sanhedrin Yudalf says, that they would have different criteria regarding aviv, if it was the spring season is going to come out in the right time, regarding the fruits of the tree, regarding the different tkufais. they would discuss that. As the Gemara says, Amar Adam Hava v'chein tonu sabi da grunya that Amar Rebbe Elazar bar Tzadik, kishayino eiskin be'ibur hashan be'yavne, when we were involved and occupied with extending the year in Yavne, lo hayin mafsikin lo lekriyishma v'tvila, we wouldn't stop, not for kriyishma, not for tvila. And that's what it means, that you don't have to stop for kriyishma v'tvila. But for regular Torah learning, then one would only have to stop for kriyishma and not for tvila. But that's, again, that's only for people like Reb Shimon Chibbe Chaverev, but regular people, like all of us, we would have to stop, not only for Krishma, but even for Tefillah. And Tais says the reason why Ibir Shana was so important that we wouldn't even stop for Krishma is because we don't want the Moyados, the Yom Tovim, to get ruined because they have to fall out at designated times, which is, so to speak, a relationship between the lunar year and the solar year. And although we go to lunar year, but some of our Yom Tovim go according to the solar year. For example, Pesach has to be Chodesh Aviv in the time of the spring, and each Yom Tov has its designated time of the crops, and that goes according to the solar year, and therefore we have to match it up. That's why it's very important, and to not ruin the Yom Tovim, we wouldn't even stop for Kriyishma. Now we begin the next Mishnah. This Mishnah was, so to speak, the precursor, the reason why the Mishnah on Tesmah Beis was discussed, as Rashi said over there, that we were talking about different things, precautions that we take before something happens so that we shouldn't forget about it. And the Mishnah begins, related to the halacha of Shabbos of this Masechta. Lo yotza hachayit b'mechtoi samech lechashecha. That a tailor should not go out with his needle that he uses for all his sewing purposes when it's close to nightfall. And the reason is, maybe he's going to forget, and he's going to go out when it's already dark with the needle, so don't hold it. You shouldn't even be in your possession when it's getting close to nighttime. Similarly, that the scribe should not walk out with his quill. And that is this for the same reason that a person, he's going to forget that he's holding, he's going to be walking out with it. Then the Gemara continues with other Gezeiros Drabbanan. And the person should not delouse his garments, and that is that to get rid of the lice that's in his clothing. And later on, the Gemara is going to explain what's the reason that that's also to do on Shabbos. And the person should not read from anything from the light of a candle. And that is, if he's reading from a sefer, maybe he's going to, let's say, bend over the candle to bring the oil closer to the wick, that it should be lit better, that he could read better. And it's going to come out that he's going to be over on the Issa D'Oraisa of Havara, of burning and igniting something on Shabbos. Then the Mishnah continues with a different halacha. The Be'emes Amru, in truth they said, the Hachazin Roya Hechen Tinoik is current. That although we said that you're not allowed to read to the light of a candle, but the Chazin, he's allowed to look where the children are reading from. Abulhula Yikr, but he himself is not allowed to read from the light of the candle. So Rashi has two interpretations. Either he says the chazan is a reference to the shamish of the shul, that he calls out, he's the one that reads from the Torah for the seven people that come up by the aliyah the following day, on Shabbos day. And sometimes he doesn't know where they have to read from tomorrow. And so he looks where the children, the Tanoikos Shabbos Rabban, are reading on this Shabbos, on Friday night, and he, so to speak, he sees by the order, by the candlelight that they're learning in shul, and he knows that what's the parasha of this week. Another pshat Rashi gives that the chazan is the teacher of the children. And that is, he sees that where they're he's looking Friday night, he could glance at the chapter headings where the children are going to learn tomorrow, so that he can know where to finish up, where they has to learn with them. But either idea, whether it's the chazan of the shul or it's the one that teaches the children, that they're not really, he can't really read from it, but he could only see where the children read from it. In other words, it's more of a superficial glancing, that he won't come to bend it over to be totally ma'ayin and delve into this, that he's not going to realize, and he's going to bend the candle and he'll be over in the Issa Havar. So the Mishnah continues, Kayetzibai, similarly, that the Chacham made harchakas, they made some type of a distance that a person shouldn't come to Haver. They said the following statement, Lo yoichel hazav im hazava, that the zav, who's a male that had some type of an emission from his body, from his male organ, that makes him tummy, he should not eat together with his zava, who also had an emission from her organ that makes them both tame, and more, and for sure, definitely a man that's tahar, that's pure, he definitely should not be eating with his zava. And the reason is because it might lead to sin, and that is because since they're having this intimate meal that they're eating together, he might come to have relations with her, which is a chiyuv kara. So therefore, he shouldn't be eating together with her, because that could lead to her, to other things, and therefore they shouldn't be eating together, and that he shouldn't be even the chiv karas of having relations with a zav. So now the Gemara discusses, it's non-hostim. We learned over there in the Mishnah as follows. It says, Le yamid odim reshus yachad, the person should not be standing in reshus yachad in the private domain, v'yishter b'shus harabim, and be drinking in the public domain. That is, he'll be reaching over his head and his mouth into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and to grab the cup and to drink from it. The reason why he can't do this is because we make a gzera, a decree, that maybe he's going to bring the keli, the cup, back to him where he is in Rosh Hashanah Yachad, and he's going to be chayiv, he's liable for isur deraisa of achatos, because he's transporting something from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into Rosh Hashanah Yachad, so we don't let him lean over and drink. And similarly, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, yishter b'shus harabim, we don't let him stand Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and drink from a private domain. Then it's mutter. But if, let's say, he enters into that other domain, his head and most of his body, to where the places where he's drinking, then he's allowed to. Although, let's say, his leg is still in Rosh Hashanah Yachad, but if most of his body is already in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then he could drink from there. We'll continue on to Amud Beis. The Chein Begas. And we learned over there that the same thing would apply to a wine press, which the Gemara is going to explain. What does that mean? So now the Gemara asks, so that was regarding Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and Rosh Hashanah Yachad. Let's say regarding a karmless, let's say a bika, which is a wide open field, that only midrabanan, it's forbidden to bring things in and out from it into Rosh Hashanah Yachad or Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So the question is, my, what is the halacha? Can someone stand in Rosh Hashanah Yachad or Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and then reach over his head, l'ketchila, and to go ahead and drink from a karmless? Is the same thing apply, although it's only Issa Rabbanan, would have the same halacha like we learned regarding the Issa Dereis of trans, of, let's say, reaching over and drinking, that we're concerned that maybe you're going to bring it back, and Michaev on Haitzah, that maybe we didn't allow the same thing by Karmelis or not. So I'm Abai, hehe, Abai says it's the same thing, and that is just like we said, it's forbidden in that Mishnah. So to this is also forbidden because we're concerned that you might come to be Oivan the Issa and bring it back to the domain that you're in. But Rav Amar, he goof a Gezerah, it itself is a Gezerah Drabban. That is, even if a person would transport that cup from, in let's say, the Karmelis into Rosh Hashanah Yachad, or from the Karmelis into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that at most would be an Issa D'Rabbanan. We're going to go ahead and make a Gezerah for a Gezerah, a double, so to speak, headed Gezerah. In other words, because this itself of not letting someone reach over his head because we're concerned he's going to bring the vessel is a D'Rabbanan. And top that on to the fact that Karmelis itself is a D'Rabbanan, we don't make a Gezerah like Gezerah. Therefore, he says that one would be able to lean over and drink from a karmelis. So, Omar Abaye Menah Min Allah. Abaye says, how do I know this concept, that it's true that it would be usr even from a karmelis? Because the Ketani, we learned in that Mishnah, Bechein Begas, that the same thing applies to a wine press. So, my gas, what type of wine press are we talking about? If it's a wine press that's considered in halacha of Shabbos, a private domain, that is, for example, it's 10 tefachim high, and it's 4x4 squared, and that he's saying that you can't stand in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and drink from inside of the wine press. But Tanina, we learned that. We learned in that Mishnah that you can't lean from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into Rosh Hashanah Yachad. Why do we have to specify a wine press if it's like a Rosh Hashanah Yachad? And Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, if the wine press is a public domain for halachas of Shabbos, that is, if let's say it's not 3 tefachim high from the ground, so then Tanina, we learned that also. We said that you can't stand in one domain and drink over from another domain. El Olav must be when we say, and so too is a wine press, that it was referring to a karmelis. And that's how I know that this issur of leaning over would apply not just to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and Rosh Hashanah Yachad, but even to a karmelis, which is drabbanan. But Rav Amar Rav says no. V'chein begas, what does it mean when it says the same thing would apply to a wine press? That's le'inyim ma'isa, that was regarding a different halacha, regarding the halacha of ma'isa, of giving a tenth of one's produce. That is, regarding drinking over the wine press. And if, let's say, a person did not totally uproot that cup that he was getting from the wine press to bring it outside from the press, that's considered what's known as a shtias arai, a temporary drink. And that, achila and shtias of arai, is pater for meiser, as long as you didn't go totally into the pit, which would be considered the gemar malacha, the ending of the work for halachas of meiser. But if even if you didn't finish what your work was, but if you took out that cup totally from that area, that would be considered achilas kva, a real complete structured meal. And that is because you're not intending to bring it back anymore, the leftover that you drank from. And then even if you didn't finish up your work, that regarding ma'isa would be asr. And it would have halacha of ma'isa, and you'd have to take off a tenth of that cup of wine. And v'cheinam rav sheshes, v'chein begas, l'inyan ma'isa is a reference to ma'isa. That is, when we say that we're talking about v'chein begas, that it would depend that this over here, that you're leaning over the so to speak, this wine press, would make a difference regarding ma'isa. As the Gemara brings it down, as we learn in the Mishnah. Sheisen al hagas, that a person could drink over the wine press, and that is, it's not considered a kviyas that is established for the halachas of ma'isa. It's considered a temporary type of a drinking. Bein alachamen, whether it was water that it was the wine was diluted with hot water. And that is that definitely that type of case, it's not fitting anymore to return the because you, although you drink over the wine press, you dilute it with hot water, you're not going to pour that back into the wine press because that's going to ferment all the wine and you don't want to ruin the remaining wine that's in the pit. And Bein Al Tzayin, whether you, so to speak, dilute it with cold water, Upater, and still it's going to be exempt from the Halachas of Maaseh because it's considered a temporary drinking because you're drinking right over the wine press. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Elazar, Reb Tzadik Mechayiv, he holds a person is liable for, he is obligated in the halacha of Maaser, and that is because the actual diluting, the meziga, is considered a kvias, and it makes it into a so to speak, a chiyav of Maaser on that cup of wine that you're drinking. But Chachamim say somewhere in between. Alacham and Chayiv, if it was diluted with hot water, then the person is obligated to go ahead and take off Maaser, because he's not going to pour that back in anymore, even the leftovers, so it's considered kvias. Let's say in the part, but if he diluted it just with cold water, then it's going to be exempt. They should machzor the Maaser, because he would return the leftover wine. And so the Rava says that when we refer to over here, that the chen lagas, same thing would apply to a wine press, it meant if you put your whole entire body, reisha v'rubay, over the wine press, and you drink like that, that's what we said, that mutter, that it would be mutter for the halachas of Maaser, that one is not obligated then, yet in the halacha of Maaser, because it's considered a temporary eating or drinking, and therefore one would not have to take off Maaser yet if it's the same type of a concept of leaning over the majority of your body over the wine press. And it has nothing to do with halachas of Shabbos to prove, like Abaye wanted to say, that the halacha would apply even to our karmelis, because as Rabbi said, would not geyser gzer li gzer. So the Gemara continues discussing, and that's the relevance it has to our mission that we're introducing this topic, that we have this machlokes Abaye and Rava, if we're geyser gzer li gzer, do we make a decree, so as we get double-headed Rabbanan, that we have one gzer Rabbanan, and on top of that, another gzer. This was the machlokes Abaye and Rava. So the Gemara brings to now, we learned now Mishnah. That the tailor cannot go out with his needle, even if it's not Shabbos. Yeah, but if it's close to nightfall, we're concerned that he might forget and he's going to carry in Rosh Hashanah. As the Mishnah says, Shem Yishkach V'Yitzi, he's going to forget and go out with it. So the Gemara says, My lav d'toch v'loy b'bigdoy, isn't it talking about that he had pinned it to his garment? And that is because that's how tailors used to go out. That's how you used to have their needle on and pin it to the lapel. And that's not the way of Aitzah. That's not the way people normally carry things. And even if someone, so to speak, carries it out into Rosh Hashanah when it's already nightfall, that would at most be an Issa D'Rabbanan. And still we see that we're geyser, that a person, the tailor, cannot go out with it when it's close to nightfall because we're concerned they might take it out when it's already Shabbos. That we see is a case of being geyser, gzeir l'gzeira, which is not like Rava. And therefore, we seem to have a raya from our Mishnah and Lanalik Rava that we are goyzer gezer l'gzer. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Loi denokit lebiyah, there's talking about a case where he's holding it in his hand. And that's why we're geyser, to say that he can't hold it when it's close to nightfall, because if he would carry it on Shabbos, that would be Issedei Raisa, and that's why we make it gzer. So Gemara wants to bring another raya. Toshima, Lo yotza hachayit b'mechtoi hatchuvu lebebigdi. We learned in the Braisa that a tailor cannot go out with the needle that's pinned on his jacket. So my love, Barav Shabbos, isn't it that it's talking about the Isser of going out on before Shabbos, and therefore we see that even when it's pinned, which would be at most the Isser Drabbanon, they were geyser on Erev Shabbos, that's a gzer li gzer, and not like Rava. Sigma says, like Kitanya hi b'Shabbos, when was there Brayis Atom? When that was talking on Shabbos. On Shabbos itself, the tailor cannot go out with it when it's pinned to his jacket, which is one gzer Drabbanon. That is the gzer of when it's, so to speak, attached to his coat, to his jacket, because he might come to take it out with his hands, which would be the Issa D'Oraisa. Then the Gemara asks, but Tanu Berurin the Braisa lo yotza chayit b'mechtei hatchuva b'bigdoy be'erev Shabbos imchasheicha. But we have explicitly in the Braisa, it says, seemingly not like Rav, it says that the tailor cannot go out with the needle that's pinned to his jacket, even on Erev Shabbos when it's close to nightfall. So therefore, we see that we are goyzer gzer l'gzer. So the Gemara answers, Hamani Rabbi Yehuda, that is going according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And the Amah that he says, Uman derchum nasichav, that he says that a craftsman, that if he transports something the way that craftsman usually does it, then he would be liable. And that is, if he takes it out the way his profession usually does it, that a lot of times they would go out at different times, even in the weekday like that, so then you're liable because for him that's not considered shaloi kederchit, so that is the way they usually transport. So therefore there's only one gezerah. That is their geyser when it's near nightfall, because of nightfall, if he would go out with it, it would be a Issa D'Oraisa, not a Issa D'Rabbanan. The Tanya has alerted in the Braisa as follows. Lo yotza chayit b'mechtei hatchuva lebebigdoy, that the tailor should not go out with the needle that's pinned to his jacket. Lo yinagar b'kesim sheba'oznei, and a carpenter should not go out with the ruler behind his ear. Lo yisarik b'meshicha sheba'oznei, and a fuller should not go out with the card behind his ear. V'loigardi be'ira sheba'oznei, and the weaver should not go out with a stopper behind his ear. V'loitzaba be'dugma sheba'tzavari, and the dyer should not go out with the swatch that's on his shoulder. V'loishulchani be'dinah sheba'oznei, and the money changer should not go out with the dinah, the coin that's by his ear. And that is all these different things that we learned over here, are that these professionals, these craftsmen, sometimes would go out like this into the marketplace. And that is so that people should recognize what type of profession, what type of craftsmen they are. And that people just would want to hire them and say that I want this person to work for me. And therefore, all these people, for them, they can't go out like this into Rosh Hashanah. However, Vim Yotze, if he went out like this, Patra Aval Asa Divrei Meir. Meir says, so therefore he's exempt, but initially it's also like a chil to do that. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Uman Derechum Nasi Chayev. A craftsman that goes out the way his craftsmen usually do, that person is liable for being over Issa Dereis, that's considered regular Haitzah. V'shar kol adam pater, but other people are pater. That's because it's not the way people usually transport things. They usually carry it or have it in their pocket. Behind their ear is not how you usually carry it. But for these type of people, the ruler behind his ear is the way they do it. And therefore, Behuda says they will be liable for the Issa Dereis of Haitzah. So therefore, that's, as we said, that it's not difficult from that brisa on Rav, because that's going like Rabbi Yehuda, who healed, that would be considered Issa Dereisa, and therefore Erev Shabbos and Mechashech is only one Drabanan, and that would not be a Gezeil Gezeil. It's not the Gemara poses a contradiction from two brises. Tana Chad, we learned in one brisa, Lo Yotza HaZav B'Kisei, that a Zav that has this impure emission from his body that makes his tummy, he should not go out with a pouch. And that is, they used to have a pouch for the Zav that they would tie to his male member. And that is so it could receive the zayv, which was this emission that would drip from him. So therefore, he's not allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. But if he did go out, patavel aser, he's exempt from an issa dereisa. But it's aser, then that is that there's an issa to go out with it. But you're just not liable for the chiv dereisa of haitza. But we're learning another brayso, lo yotze, he should not go out with this pouch. V'im yotze chayv chatas, and if he goes out, he's liable for chayv chatas, that it is an issa dereisa. So Rabbi Yosef like Kash, it's not a difficulty, because Harab Meir, Harab Yehuda, that it depends on the different opinions. And that is the one that says that he's chayiv, is Rabbi Yehuda that says that is the way that a Zav goes out even in the weekday, because he wants to catch all the things that are emitting from him. And therefore, Rabbi Meir says that he's going to be potter, because that's not the way people usually carry objects in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yehuda says that since that person, that's his derech, therefore he's going to be chayiv, chayiv chatas. So there's another Amor that argues and says, "No, Amalei Abaya, even the Shamat Leil Remeir. When did you hear from Remeir that the person would be putter, that if he carries it out not in the way that it's usually carried, that b'midi de lav hane orche, that's by something which is not the usual way. It's unusual to carry it like that. And a lot of all the things that we mentioned before in that brisa, that it's not the way to carry it. Only people usually carry things in their hand, even for a craftsman. That is." When it's only at the time when he wants to announce to people to know who he is, but so that's when he does it. But even those people, generally, they don't do it behind their ear or the swatch on their shoulder. They also carry it in their hands. However, by something which it is the way that people usually do it, did you ever hear him say that? And that is by the zav for this pouch that he has. That's the only way he goes out. So how would you know the Remei would say you're potter? Maybe there he agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that there the person would be chayev for carrying if he was a zav and going out with this pouch, because that's the only way they do it. Versus all those craftsmen, there he argued on Rabbi Yehuda, because even they sometimes go like that, but even them, for them it's unusual to do that. And therefore there he said it's potter. But who said here by the zav he would agree that it's potter? Maybe he would hold that it's chayev. As he says, that the Eloi Temahochi, because if you don't say this, that Remei is moida, that whenever that's the normal for this person to always do like that, that the person would not be chayiv, and that is, you want to say that he'd say he'd be potter, elmiyatev, but if that would be the case, so hedyet shechoku kav bebikas b'shabbos, if an amateur goes ahead and carves out an area of a kav in the log on Shabbos, so lemeyach and amadu lemechayiv, would you think that Remei would hold the person would not be liable for doing an issa dereis on Shabbos, that since he's not a professional, and that's not the way people usually carve out, so Remei would hold that the person's potter? If that's the case, Remei would not hold anyone's chayiv on Shabbos for doing anything, only if you're a professional. So obviously, that since he carved it out, and that's the way people carve out, so he's liable. Here also, the person would be liable because that is the way everyone carries out on Shabbos, if they're a Zav, that they carry out with this pouch, and therefore, that it would be a way that the person would be darker b'kach, and therefore, even Remei would agree that you're chayiv. So again, so how do we resolve these two braises? We can't say one's Rav Meir, one's Rav Yehuda, because even Rav Meir would agree that a person would be liable for going out with the pouch for the Zav on Shabbos and be chayav achatos. Say, Lam Rav Amnun, Lekasha, it's not difficulty, it depends on different circumstances. That Khan, the braise that said that the person is chayav for carrying out the pouch, that's Bezav Bal Shtei Rias. That was regarding a Zav that already had seen two emissions. And that is, that Zav is liable because his pouch is necessary for him because he has to check and investigate if he's going to see an emission for a third time, because that's Negeyev HaHalacha, that then he'll be what's called a complete Zav, that he'll be chayav a carbon. And since he needs it, so for him, that's considered the derech etzah. That's the way it's normal for him to transport that object on Shabbos. Khan, the brisa that says that it's pater abalasa, that you would be exempt from a carbon, is bezav bal gimel rias. That's regarding a zav that already had three emissions. And the Gemara asks, maishna zav bal shtei rias techayev. What is the difference by a zav that had two different emissions that he's liable? And because we gave a reason to Miboyle Libedika, because he needs it for checking that to see if he's going to become a complete Zav. Whereas a Zav that already saw it three times, so he's already Chayav a carbon, seeing it more than three times, four or five, six, doesn't make a difference, because you can't get worse of a Zav than that's three times, which is already Chayav a carbon. However, the Gemara asks, Zav Bal Gimel Namim Boyle. Even a Zav that saw three times also needs a pouch to see if he's going to emit another time. Lisfira, for counting. And that is, it says in the Pasuk in Vayikra Tezvav, V'chiyitar hazav, that when the Zav will become pure, V'safalei shivas yom zaynikim, then he'll count seven clean days. So therefore you need to have the pouch, because he has to verify and clarify if every day that was a clean day, that he didn't emit any from his membrane. Because if he would see on any one of the days, it would totally knock off all the 7 days of counting, because it has to be continuous, what's called Ritzufim, as it says in the Pasuk, L'taru Asai, for his purification, which is one purification for all of them. That is, you can't have Tumma that's being mafzik, that interrupts, in between the 7 days. So how would you say that this one for the second, that has only two re'is, that he needs the pouch, or that's why it's a chiva itzal, because that's his derech, because he has to see if it's going to be a third time to be chayav a carbon. The one that had three also needs to see if he's going to be clean, that he can count for all the 7 days. So therefore the Gemara says, Loi nitzucha el l'boi b'yoyim. We need it for the one, it's as we said before, that we're talking about that the one had seen three times already. But for that day, if let's say the time that he had seen the third time was on Shabbos, then now he doesn't need the pouch anymore for that whole day, because you can't count that day anyway from the Shiva Nekiyim, because it had an emission on that day. So therefore, for the remainder of that day, since there's no purpose for the pouch, and if he walks out with that pouch, since it's not necessary for him to have that pouch because he's not counted that day anyway, that's why that brisa says that you'll be potter, but correct, although if it was a different day, then even a Zav that saw three times, it would be necessary, and therefore he'd be chayav itzah also. However, the Gemara asks, so the one that saw three emissions, and it was on that day, and it's on Shabbos, and it's not necessary, therefore his itzah is considered not necessary, and therefore he's going to be potter from a chiv derayis of itzah. But the Gemara asks, v'mi boyle kadeshli tan b'kelev. But he does need the pouch for a very practical, simple, pragmatic reason, that his clothing shouldn't get soiled, it shouldn't get ruined. And if he's dripping, it's going to ruin his clothing. So that should be considered that it's necessary for him, and therefore he should be chayv on itzah. So Rabbi Zeir, Haytanahu, it's going like the following Tana, the Amar Kolat Tzuli Tinuf Lekachashav, that any object that's being there just to save one from getting dirty, from getting soiled, that's not considered significant. And therefore, that's not considered the Derech Haytza. The Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, as follows. HaKoyfa Ka'ara Alakoyfa, if someone turns over a plate over a wall, that is when the rain was coming down on the wall, so it depends on what his intention is. Imbishvil Shatuda Chakar, if his intention was that the plate should get rinsed and that's why he's turning it over on the wall, Sahareza Bechiyutan. So that's in the halachic reference of what's called Kiyutan, which is that he's, so to speak, being machshiv, he's considering it significant, these beverages, this liquid that's from the raindrop that's coming on his plate, and he showed that he wants that liquid because he wanted it to clean his plate. So even though he doesn't want it later when that's going to fall on his fruits at a later time, but and therefore it shouldn't have the heksher, because one of the requirements of a food item to become tummy, for example, fruit, is that it has to have a once, so to speak, washed with one of the seven liquids that it says. And water is one of them. So therefore, but it has to be water that you were pleased with, that it was on the fruit. So here, although that you're not pleased in it when it actually falls on the fruit, but since before when you were pleased with it, when it was washing the plate, that's already considered that it's designated a proper beverage. And when it touched the fruits, it's going to make the fruit so to speak, ready and susceptible and vulnerable to becoming tummy. As the Mishnah Machshirin says that any beverage, any liquid that originally was larotz and that you desired it, so then even though ultimately you don't want it when it falls on the fruit, it still will be machshir, will make the fruit ready and accessible to acquire tummy from any other area. So therefore here, where you wanted to wash the plate, it's considered kiyutan, as the pasuk says, that it was so to speak, beverage was placed in it. In Bishvil, however, if you wanted, and we continue on to the top of Yod Beis Amad Aleph, Shlo Yilka HaKoysel, that only just that the wall shouldn't get damaged, and you were using the plate as a way of protecting the wall, Einim Chiyutan, that will not be considered that you made, so to speak, the liquid significant. That's the same idea, which is that you're just protecting something from getting ruined, which is Atzilei Tinuf, so that's not considered significant by the covering over from the plate. And that's the same idea that we mentioned before, that's why the person is the Zavis Potter, that if he's going out with the pouch, just that his clothing shouldn't get ruined, that does not make it deemed significant in the fact that this is an entity that I consider as worthy. And therefore here also, regarding the pouch, just like the rain, is not considered chashev, it's not considered that we reckon with this thing. But the Gemara asks me, dummy, is it really the same thing? Hasam, over there, regarding when you cover the wall with the plate, you had no need for that liquid, that the raindrops, at all. You didn't want it, and you didn't want it, it could go wherever it should go. I didn't want to clean the plate, I just wanted to protect the wall. Over here, but here, you do need this pouch to, so to speak, receive the ziva that's dropping. And that is, over there, he didn't want the beverage at all. He'd rather if the raindrops had not come down at all. And although he's, so to speak, covering with the plate, that's considered just a chashivas for the plate, but we need a chashivas for the liquid, and that you don't have. And therefore, this covering of the wall is only to reveal that I didn't want the beverage in the first place. But here regarding Shabbos, where we so to speak, we have to consider significant the haitzah, the actual act of transporting something. And here the transporting of this pouch is considered chashiv because he does need it, and that's to protect his body and his clothing from getting soiled by this viscous liquid that's dripping out of his body. So therefore the Gemara says, Holy Damiel Seifa, that this case that we're talking about would only be comparable to the Seifa of that case over there in that Mishnah, which was talking about that if you're going to compare our halacha of transporting the pouch of the Zav to Hechsher Zroim, to, so to speak, make food susceptible to Tumah, it would only be applicable to that Seifa, which says, Areva Sheyora Delef L'Toich, if there's a bowl, that there's a leak that's dripping inside that bowl. Then Maim Hanitazn Vanitzafim Einin Mechiyutan. Then the water that splashes or spills out of the bowl, that's not considered significant. It's not considered Kiyutan, because that's not water that's, so to speak, going to be good for you, because it's anyways not being contained in the bowl. Bishabatoicha, but that what's inside the bowl, Hareza Bechiyutan, that is considered Kiyutan, and that is something that you do desire. And that is this bowl that the leak is dripping inside of it, that although it's just to save from whatever is, so to speak, let's say the air conditioner is dripping, so you put a bowl there to protect the carpet or whatever it is, and that's the purpose of this bowl also, in spite of that, from the fact that you didn't just turn the bowl upside down, you reveal that you wanted to receive it, and that it's chashiv to you whatever dripped inside of the bowl. Here also, this haitzah, this transporting this the pouch, that is, you're considering chashiv the pouch that the Zav is taking out with him, and although that he didn't want the dripping from his body, but we're being mechayev the person, making him liable for the transporting of the pouch, not of the ziva, of what's dripping from him, which that is just to save from that dripping, but obviously what we're taking out is desirable, the pouch is desirable, and therefore it's the same thing as this bowl, that although you didn't want it to drip, just like the Zav didn't want to drip, but since you turned it right side up and you're catching all the drops and you're not, so to speak, turning it upside down, that it should save what's under there and it should drip away. Same thing goes over here also. Although you don't want to be a Zav, but the fact that you're using the pouch is showing that it is significant because you want to catch whatever is there and that it shouldn't go somewhere else. And therefore, the question is, so we're back to the original question. That Brisa that says that there's three re'iyas of that he had in the mission from his body, that then we said that then the person would be chayiv, that the person would be potter, because there's no need for the pouch, but there is a need for the pouch. And that's because it's considered significant that he shouldn't soil his clothing or his body. There's a different way to resolve these two brises, if a person is chayiv or not, for the hitzah of the pouch of this av. And that horeb Yehuda of horeb Shimon, that the brise that said that the person is liable is going according to Yehuda. And the one that said that he's potter is going according to Reb Shimon. And that is Rabbi Yehuda holds that in spite of the fact that it's a melacha shein tzrich legufa, that is, that I don't really need the pouch for itself. I'm only using it as for something else, for the ziva, which I don't desire in the first place. Still, you're going to be chayv, Rabbi Yehuda says. And this is a machloikis that they have in Hamatzniyah, on Daf Tzad, the Gimel, and the Beis, later on in the Masechta, regarding when someone takes out the coffin of the dead. That is, Rabbi Yehuda says the person is going to be chayiv, that although the taking out of the dead person is not something that I desire, I don't want to transport him to that area, I just don't want him here. So therefore, although it's considered malacha shein tzrich legufa, the actual transporting of one object from inside here to the outside, which is generally the desired result, is I want it over there. Here, I don't want it over there, I just don't want it over here. That's called malacha shein tzrich legufa. That Rabbi Yehuda holds in spite of the fact that you don't need it for its intended desire, it's just to take care of a different problem, still you're chayiv. And that Rabbi Shimon says that a person would be pater, he's exempt, if he did a malacha shein tzrich legufa. And that is the machlokes we have over here regarding the zav, that it's also considered that his pouch is, so to speak, a malacha shein tzrich legufa, because I don't need it for itself. I need it for something that I don't really even desire. I just want to get rid of the, so to speak, the thing that's bothering me. And that's similar to taking out the corpse from inside over here, that it's not, so to speak, I'm not intending to transfer it to that area. I just don't want it here, but I am doing it by transferring, and that would be the machlekes of Yehuda and Reb Shimon, if one is chayev or pater, and that's the resolution of the two brises, if a person is chayev or pater, for transporting the pouch on the by the member of the zav.